Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Dark Souls.
Nailed it.
We're good. I could just chop those other two parts off.
Yeah, exploded.
Ba-boom!
But we missed the five-minute joke. That was a good joke,
too. That was a good joke. We'll just clip that and put that at the end of it.
Yeah. All
right. Yeah. Perfect.
Okay. What's up, everyone? This is Joe Cam.
I'm Chris.
And we're Tim's not here. Yay!
Tim, I don't know what Tim's doing. He might be trying to get laid. Maybe. Fingers crossed.
So, instead of Tim, we have, via Skype and our whole new wacky setup, the one and only Mr. Danny Baranowski, a.k.a. Danny B., a.k.a. the guy who did the music for Super Meat Boy and Binding of Isaac.
What's up?
Hi.
Was that a good intro?
Hi.
Yay.
He's here. He's alive.
He's still alive.
He's breathing now.
Yeah.
Asthma's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, that's a good intro. It was a good intro. Intrusion on my life.
Sorry.
That's how we operate. We just
harass random people.
We invade everybody's lives.
Yeah.
In one way or another.
So, what's new in the world of Danny B?
Right now it's all Desktop Dungeons until November 7th or November 6th at 11:59. PM.
Do you have a countdown clock on your wall? Just like, this is my deadline.
No, I just have anxiety.
Close enough. It's like a clock. It's not technically on the wall, but it's just internally there.
It's always there, haunting you and hounding you.
Yep.
Thank you for reminding me.
I have it too, buddy. Internet high five.
But boom. I need to try and get those tracks done too. So yeah. I have a level of anxiety as well, trying to get these songs done for Magfest. So I understand.
Yeah, as I told you, Danny, Chris here is aiming to put together a VG remix album, hopefully for Magfest, and he's going to tackle a Super Meat Boy track.
All right, it's awesome.
Yeah, I just started messing around with that like last week. A lot of fun.
You'll play it at Magfest?
Maybe. I don't know.
Jam Space. Oh, and
yeah.
You could join them with it? Are you going to be at Magfest this year?
No. That week is really hard for me.
Gross.
Man.
I know. I mean, I love Magfest. I went to Magfest twice. I loved it both times. It just... Come on, this is a happy interview. Let's talk about happy things. Let's talk about the things I can go to. Like, I gotta go to the doctor tomorrow. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yay, doctors.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so I got this rash, right?
Go on. Where is the rash?
It's on my soul. I'm actually going to church tomorrow.
I like you're like,
now I don't know what's true.
It's the rash.
Does he have a nut rash or church? Maybe it's a church rash.
Maybe it's a... Never mind.
Isn't church rash like the best metal band name ever?
Church rash! It's the spiritual successor to road rash.
Yeah. That'll be the name of your CD.
church rash? No, it's already blade mode.
Well, no, you know, it's like road rash grows up later on. They're on Social Security. They're not as extreme. They don't do drugs anymore. So, you know, the road's not really their thing anymore. They go to church and they have nice brunch with their old friends and they talk about the old days of the road.
Remember when we were on the Genesis? Oh, those were the days.
We're going to be dead soon.
Do you remember Sega Channel?
What's that?
Do you remember the Sega Channel?
I just wonder if, like, there's old, like, groups of old people in, like, churches and stuff. I wonder if, like, every once in a while they just have, like, the one person who's just totally losing it and going completely senile, and they're just like, we're all gonna die in a week. Oh, Bill, come on.
And then he dies in a week.
They're like, damn it, we should have listened.
Well, yeah, something's wrong with that.
They all get hit by a meteor.
Best interview ever.
We've killed elderly people with meteors.
Yep. And this is only within the first, like, 5 minutes. Not even. I'm so happy right now.
I've talked about a rash.
A rash? Church? We're hitting it all.
Elderly road rash.
Elderly road rash.
Meteors killing elderly road rash things.
Yeah, and road rash is a video game, so it's topical.
Yeah, totally.
It is topical. Like the cream for your rash.
Zing. Buzzing.
So you're working on some stuff. What did you do in the past? How are people going to know who you are?
I did music for Super Meat Boy, Body of Isaac, Cannibalt, Cave Story 3D, the Hunger Games iPhone game, Glorg, Steambirds. I can't remember everything.
There's lots of stuff.
So I'm curious to know, how did you get involved with Super Meat Boy?
Everything kind of started, I guess OC Remix is probably really where everything started.
The old days of OCR.
Yeah, the OGC Remix.
OGOC Remix? Is that it? That's a lot of letters.
Yeah, I got lost halfway through.
Yeah. He got stopped. He stopped at OG. OG CO Remix. Nailed it.
There's a 7 in there.
This hyphen / apostrophe.
HD Remix.
HD, yeah. I did music, you know, remixes and stuff for just a long time, and worked on music and stuff and did that. And I met through, you know, Jared Hudson.
I do not personally. Does Joe?
I've never met him, but I am familiar with him.
So he was an OC remixer too. And the long story short thing is, like, I was going to do this Halo remake into an RTS fan project thing with him, doing the music, cause he didn't have time. We like split it. And through that I met, Adam Atomic, Adam Salzman, who made Cannibalt. And I did some games with him before Cannibalt. And just, he liked what I was doing, and we started putting stuff out there. And when we did Cannibalt, we put it on the App Store and stuff, and online, it was just like this hit. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, people, I mean, like, oh, I get paid for this now. Like, it was just out of nowhere, man. Like I wanted it. I wanted it to happen. It would have been cool. Like, I didn't have any money. I was totally broke and unemployed. But it just happened. And then from there, just Cannibalt led to just knowing other people. And then I met the guys for Super Meat Boy and did that. And just kept going. And now I have Necrodancer coming up, and Desktop Dungeons and Drifter, and more shit than I can keep track of.
So what you're saying is you're kind of busy.
You're busy.
Well, I'm more just can't keep track of shit. It's more, not so much that I'm busy as much as I just have very low mental aptitude.
That's one way to put it. That's fine. So, I mean, like, did you have any, but like, how did you get involved with OC Remix originally? Like, were you really involved with music prior to that? Or was it really just, like, your love of video games that brought you there? Like, what brought that about?
Yes, I mean, so I've been in, you know, since I was a kid, I was in band in, like, fifth grade. I started playing drums. I was in percussion all through, like, middle school, high school, college. And high school-ish, I just, I found OC Remix, and it was just, like, I was way into video game music and stuff. I found OC Remix by searching through how I think 90% of people found OC Remix, which is searching for Final Fantasy Techno on Kazaa.
Wow!
One of these MP3s had like a link on it, and that's how I found OC Remix.
Oh my god.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I had been playing drums and all this stuff all the time. It just... I actually, one of the biggest reasons I started writing not necessarily his music, but remixes was, you know, Ari, Pratricity, Ari Azulin. He lived local. He lived nearby, and just we had talked and stuff on Osha Remix for a while, and like I actually met him, and he like spent 10 minutes one day showing me how Reason worked, and so I went home and I knew how to use Reason, kind of, and but it was enough to get started. And like he did this remix, like Brambles in the Breeze or something, of Donkey Kong Country 2. And then he also, I had been writing really silly stuff in MIDI. And I'm like, hey, like, you know, what if I gave you this MIDI and you did something with it? And I sent him this MIDI of this like stupid song I wrote when I was like 14. And he made it like this fucking synth electro masterpiece in like 2 hours. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this now. That like bridged the gap between like what I had been doing and what I could be doing. That like, oh, so if I do this, this is the difference. Instead of just like MIDI, just like silly computery sound of music, which I love, but it is kind of silly and it's not stuff you can really put on a CD. Like if I do this and I learn Reason and stuff, like that's where I can go with it. So.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. I mean, I think most people that have any kind of musicians type background, starts with MIDI because that's what's readily available to them and the easiest way to record and get ideas down. Because I know the first time that I actually sat down to attempt to record stuff, I just essentially tabbed everything out in like Power Tab and then just like just put MIDI drums underneath it too. And man, did it sound like shit. But
yeah, I started on Guitar Pro.
Yep. Guitar Pro, Power Tab, all that nonsense. But yeah, I think
today though, because there's like GarageBand on iPad and stuff today, and there's so many different ways to do it now that like I don't know if a kid, 12 or 14 year old kid today, could even like, is there an app they could even get that would even use MIDI, or it's all like proprietary and self-contained now?
I think a lot of people are still messing around with Fruity Loops. Fruity Loops is like the go-to, like someone wants to make any kind of electronic music,
right?
They're just like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna get Fruity Loops and then open up a piano roll and just go to town. But I think that's what's going to really make it like it. That's what makes it readily available to most people nowadays. And the fact that like, you know, you have programs like GarageBand that have built in MIDI for stuff like that as well. Like, you know, they have the piano roll that you can kind of mess with that kind of stuff on.
So and Jam Sessions for the DS puts a guitar right in your hand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, buddy. Actually, I think, you know what? And it's funny that you bring that up. There's so many people that are talking about this Rocksmith 2 that I was telling Joe earlier today, I'm half tempted to trade in my copy of Grand Theft Auto to get Rocksmith because it's one of these things that I hear so much about and everybody's giving it really good praise. I don't know. I think I think that's going to be like the next thing to really, you know, get a lot of younger kids into music. Because I know me personally, I saw a lot of people getting into a lot of different types of music, not just, you know, playing music in general, but got them into a lot of different genres and stuff like that solely just from games like Guitar Hero and Rock Band and stuff like that. So, I mean, like, I'm hoping that, you know, Rocksmith 2 has a good following to it, just, you know, just because I think the software and what they can do with it, like, it looks fucking awesome. Like, it's really, really interesting. So, have you ever messed around with any of the Rocksmith stuff before? Or?
So, my understanding is that it's similar to the Real Guitar integration in, like, Rock Band 3.
Yeah.
So, I have that. I use that, and I just... I didn't really get too into it, but like, I'm still skeptical that the tracking and stuff is as good as it needs to be, but with what everybody's saying, I mean, maybe it is.
And that's exactly how I feel. Cause I'm like, you know, there's so many little intricacies on guitar that I just don't know if a game's going to really be able to pick that up properly. Not to mention the fact that like, I know for the longest time, even just calibrating my Rock Band was a pain in the ass.
Right. So, no, yeah, that's mostly what I did.
Yeah, so it's like when you run into problems like that, that's where I'm kind of like, should I do it? Should I not do it? I don't know.
Well,
like,
I know Kyle, our editor, seems pretty sold on Rocksmith.
He had like a raging hard-on for this game.
He still does. He's always posting pictures on Facebook about new high scores, and you know they have a master mode where there's no chart at all. You're just playing the song. And he's like nailing songs on that, but he's a guitar player. I'm honestly curious to see how someone like me can actually do in that game, because like I just feel stupid holding a guitar. I just feel like I shouldn't have this thing around me. I'm probably going to set something on fire if I touch it wrong.
If you're lucky.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Dude, that'd be like the coolest thing ever. When I pick up a guitar, I can shoot flames out of my fingertips. That's what you're aiming for, Joe. That's a good thing.
I honestly would love to try it. It's just getting my hands on a guitar and the game and the cable, and
maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll pick it up so we could take
it. Kind of a strange thing though, cuz it's like we've seen in like the last 5 years Rock Band come and go already. Like Rock Band came around, 2005, 2006.
Well, a lot of that had to do with Guitar Hero and the absolute oversaturation of the market.
You know, you know what I mean, though. I mean, socially, like, I was playing Guitar Hero on my PlayStation 2 in, you know, high school. But the normies weren't doing that. Like, Rock Band is when, like, my normal friends who, like, went outside and talked to girls, like, played a video game. They would come over and like we would play Rock Band together, and it was like this whole like social critical mass thing, and then it just went away in like 3 years. Yeah. And to where like I hear people still play it, but like I never see it, and I think the store has been shut down. Like, I just kind of wonder if the Rocksmith thing, like technically it's an achievement that it can, you know, use a real guitar and do all this kind of stuff, but like the barrier of entry has to be much higher, because it's with Rock Band, you pick up a guitar or a Guitar Hero and you can play a simple version of Smoke on the Water in no time,
right?
With buttons. But a real guitar, like,
you got to dedicate time to
it. I'm
going to
work on this all day, like having my hand contort in the right way.
Right. Yeah.
Well, the big thing with Rocksmith is they're advertising that if you play it at least an hour every day, you can learn the guitar in 60 days.
It's good.
And everything that I've seen in the game, and even like as someone that's been playing guitar for a long time, you know, I'm primarily a drummer, so I picked up guitar a little late. But I mean, like I have a general knowledge on like leads and stuff like that. But the session mode and some of the practice modes that they have in this, where they essentially just set like they populate a back. Like a backup band to whatever it is that you play. And you could essentially sit down and be like, oh, I'm going to work on my Mixolydian scales. Like, and you could just set, you know, what key that you're going to play in. It shows the scale there and all the variations. And you could sit there and just work on it and work on it and work on it. And, like just learning scales, learning a lot of the approaches. I think that's where this game is really going to start taking off for those people that, you know, something like Pro Guitar on Rock Band and stuff like that, it doesn't quite delve into, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've been wanting to get back into guitar anyway, just hopefully when I have less going on, but something like that is, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate that sometimes you have to trick yourself into doing this shit. Like, I should just want to practice guitar every day because, like, I'm a musician and it's my job and I should be a fucking grown up about it, but like, put a video game on it. Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, no, I kind of feel the same way because, you know, I consider myself to be a musician as well, even though I don't get freelance work.
Speaking of Rock Band shit, I'm the only one on this episode who isn't in Rock Band.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I'm in Rock Band. He's in Rock Band.
What do you loser. Have in Rock Band? What don't you have in Rock Band is how I should put it.
Wait, no, you... Joe Cam Stole My Bike.
That's not an official DLC song.
But you can play it.
That's a custom song, but...
No, I actually, a band that I was in, three of our songs are on Rock Band Network.
Cool.
So, and I tell you what, that skyrocketed my legitimacy of saying, like, no, really, I play an instrument. Like, that's what I do.
Yeah, it was just crazy how fast all that shit happened. Like, Rock Band's a thing. There's an online thing. And then now anybody can be on it and all this. And then, yeah. That's cool, though, man. That's really cool. Is that still up, though? Like, can you still get on Rock Band and buy that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still there. They're just not releasing new stuff.
Right.
Yeah, everything there.
Rock Band Network.
Yeah, everything that they put up already is still supported.
Yeah, except a handful of songs that, like, licensing
deals
ran out and were pulled from the store. But, yeah, there's still thousands of songs that you could just grab and play.
Yeah. I mean, I never even, like, you know, Super Meat Boy music comes out, like, never even occurred to me, like, hey, let's put it in Rock Band. And then, like, people approach me about it, and, like, that's a thing you can do?
Yeah. That was kind of how I was, too, like... There was this charting group that was, you know, working on stuff for Rock Band Network, and they kind of contacted me because I was doing all the booking and stuff for the band that I was working with, and they contacted me and they're like, hey, you know, we really want to put your stuff in Rock Band, and I'm like, well, that's fucking weird, but sure, yeah, why not? So essentially I just had to grab the stems from the studio that we recorded at and send it out. And I told them, hey, you know, if you guys can send me like rough versions of what you're working on, like, yeah, like send them to me and I'll test them out. Cause I do play the game. Like, and, what surprised me was how fast the turnaround was. Like, I sent them the stems and then like, as soon as they received the stems, I think they were on Rock Band Network like 3 or 4 weeks after.
Wow.
Like, it was crazy fast. And all the notes, like, when I sat and played, like, pro drums, were exactly how they were. Like, to a T.
Right. And then you can hook up an actual, like, V-drums to it if you want.
Yeah. And, well, I haven't tried doing that yet, because that's actually, like, how I'm recording all the drums for... the CD that I'm going to be doing for Magfest, because I essentially use my electronic kit that I use to practice at home, but I just trigger everything from Steven Slate, and I just kind of use like a kit that I made up in there and go through that. And I'm going to try and see if I can actually get the samples from when I was in the studio with the last album that I did for Ethereal and get all the actual samples of my actual drums and then set them up and trigger those so that I essentially have like an actual version of my kit.
Yeah, I'm looking into. I would love to have some V drums. I never have. I've played on them before. I like them, but my problem with that is that like, I know just because I'm so picky because I've been playing drums for so long that like if I don't get the best one I could possibly afford, I'm gonna be disappointed, and it's like. They're already like a few grand anyway.
Yeah, so, I ended up dropping about to replicate my actual acoustic kit, because obviously when you get like just a regular electronic drum pack, you essentially only have like a snare, two rack toms, floor tom, bass drums, hi-hats, and like one or two cymbals. I ended up spending about maybe like $1,800, something like that. And then I still have to bring over my seat and my pedal from my acoustic kit.
So, yeah. See, my problem here is I the one I was looking at was like $7,000.
Well, yeah. Is that the?
And so since like it's going to be a while until like $7,000 is something I'm comfortable just dropping.
Yeah.
Because
that was about how much I just dropped like a. Like earlier this year on my acoustic kit, because I revamped my entire acoustic kit.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's a weird thing too, because like for $7,000 you can have one thing that does everything, but not as good as the real thing.
Yeah,
but different things, and I mean, I'm not sure electronic kits are ever. So I don't know if I'm just like chasing the dragon there, because it's like, okay, am I going to save up $7,000 to get the best electronic kit or whatever, when in 5-10 years there's going to be something better?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like, I mean, honestly,
is
like,
is it ever going to feel like a real kit? Because, like, is it ever going to have the give of a real drum head and all that kind of stuff? I don't know.
I think the closest that I could really get, I bought a Roland TD-15. And, you know, it was expensive. Like I said, I'd spent about like $1,800 on it. But at the same time, like, I feel like I can at least get the point across of what I'm trying to do. You're not going to get a lot of the subtleties that you could do on a regular kit. But at the same time, like, for what I'm trying to do and essentially, like, demo stuff and you know, do primarily, like, if I'm going to work on electronic stuff, like, I can get away with playing a kit like that and have it sound good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I might, you know, I might be okay with that. Like, if because since would the $7,000 kit allow you to do those intricacies anyway? I mean,
right.
Maybe better, but still probably not 100%. So
no, and that's kind of why I settled a little bit.
Was it like they're not like the rubber pads?
No,
are they?
No,
are
no,
they
no,
the
no.
Ones?
No, they're the mesh like V drum pads.
Yeah, those feel good, man. Like, they don't feel like drums, but they feel good.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, too, is at least you can change the tension on them.
Yeah.
So at least like that, you get a little bit close. The one thing that I hate more than anything is actually the hi-hat, which there, you know, I can get a different hi-hat thing to replace it, to make it like, because they actually released like a newer thing where it's like two electronic cymbals that are essentially pressed together on an actual hi-hat stand. So, I mean, it responds the same way, but until I do that, like, that's probably going to be the one thing that I'm mad about the most. That and the bass drum, because like the bass drum, like, I need to get one of the bigger pads, because I just have one of the smaller ones. So when I use my double pedal on it, like, because right now the one that I have, it's a little bit wider, and I can't adjust like where they actually rest on the pad because it's so small. But aside from that,
you know what I'm mad about?
What?
I'm mad about you.
That's cool.
Aww.
That's really cool. I like it.
That's adorable.
Like the TV show, or that was a TV show, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Paul Reiser, motherfucker.
Something like that. So, I mean, like, when you're working on stuff for, I guess, like, for a company that you're paid to do, how do you kind of channel whatever it is that, you know, your motivation and drive to kind of meet your deadlines or lack of?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's freelancing. I think there's plenty of stuff out there. Oatmeal did a good comic about it. Like, there's the challenges in like freelancing are basically like, can you be a grown up if you don't have somebody telling you what to do? And
yeah,
it's a lot harder than it seems. Cause like, if you go from like having a regular job to freelancing and like, you know, making it to where like you pay the bills with just freelancing, you are essentially a employed person with an unemployed lifestyle.
Yeah.
It feels like you don't have a job, and it still kind of doesn't. I mean, it's been 3 or 4 years now since like I've had enough income to like make it. And like, some people are just better at doing it than others. And you know, I'm to put it shortly, I'm probably not the best person to answer this question, cause I don't really know. But like, what I do know is that, when I'm working on projects where I feel like I'm a part of it, most of the projects I've ever done have been for a back-end percentage,
mm-hmm.
Which essentially means I'm sharing risk and reward. Like, I'm fortunate enough right now to have enough financial stability to where if I do if I get a percentage on a game and it does nothing, I'll be fine. But if it does a lot, I get a lot, and that's cool, because then instead of, okay, I'm going to do what's your budget? You know, 8 minutes of music for this much. Okay, I'll do it and I'm done with it, and that's it.
And then, you never see it again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna do a good job. I mean, I am professional, I guess.
I guess, quote unquote.
I am gonna do it. But there's something to be said about, like, okay, instead, what I want to do is obsess about your game and think about it all the time and have it be the top thing on my mind and not have to worry about writing too much music. Like, if I think a part needs a lot more music or something, or I go off on something, I can't be like, oh, well, I can't do that because I was only budgeted for this. I mean,
yeah. No, I got you.
So, you know, that's... But I mean, that's only one part of it. Obviously, a lot of it has to do also with, like, am I interested in the aesthetics of the game and what it's about and how it feels and how it plays and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's bottom line, be a grown up, do your job. But, you know, if you can find ways to make that part easier, I think in the long run, it makes everything easier.
Cue words of wisdom.
Yes.
By Danny B.
So what are your thoughts?
It's on my calendar.
Do you have a quote a day calendar that you can provide with us? Because that we can read a quote every podcast.
Yeah, we'll give one away in a concert. Or a contest too.
In a concert? We could do a concert.
Concert contest.
Kinda. I have a jump shot a day calendar.
Perfect.
So what are your thoughts on the whole deal with OC Remix veterans? More and more becoming actual game composers, obviously with you, with Jake Kaufman. I know Dale North has worked on games. Mustin has worked on games. You've had the entire Street Fighter 2 HD remix project happen. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, it's not... So, first of all, like, when I was... You know, 10 years ago when I was just some kid in school and I hadn't really done anything yet and everything. And, like, I know there was a lot of talk from time to time about how would OC Remix ever lead to professional gig? Like, could you do this? And the answer I saw bandied about the most was no, that this is. And it certainly could have been the people I was talking to, but this is a thing you do for fun, and if it leads to something else, that's cool, but this is not ever anything that's going to lead to anything, and that's how it should be. And I think that was a reasonable expectation, and I'm glad I thought about it that way, that I didn't expect or have, you know, feel entitled that if I did all these remixes and stuff, that I would, I'm sorry, one second.
It's Q. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Okay, I'm back.
Yay, he's alive.
I'm sorry.
He's gotta breathe. No, he does. He has to breathe. It's not a joke. That is that's a true story.
Okay, we can edit all that out. I'm sorry.
No. We leave everything in.
That's staying. Anyway, so before my seizure, I was talking about. I guess it's like anything else. I think the thing that kind of makes that question hard to answer is that with the internet now. Everybody comes from everywhere, and it's not so much anymore like, you know, it used to be, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I never thought you could do music for games. Like, not that I thought you couldn't, but like, how would you get into Capcom? You know, yeah. How would you get into whoever was, I mean, before Xbox 360 and PS3, especially, like, it was different, man. It was like, how are you going to work on Halo? Like, you got to go meet somebody at Microsoft, like, whatever, and like this barrier of entry was impossibly high.
You got to go in some back alley and like
blow a dude
penis.
Well, I do that anyway. But
well, hey, times are tough. I don't judge.
You're just bored.
No, just for fun.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean,
come on. Get with it.
We get some crack.
It's not the 80s anymore.
Oh, okay.
Wait, you can get crack for doing that?
Yeah.
Huh.
What have you been getting for it?
Nothing. Satisfaction?
I think that's enough.
That could be enough, you know.
It's the personal joy of making someone's day a little bit better.
And wetter. Slightly.
I feel like we all have different priorities here.
Mine is obviously crack.
And I guess we're just all about blowing dudes.
Cool.
Always. I guess, you know, to answer the question, though, I guess the best answer is Yeah, I mean, of course, I'm really happy about it. Like, I mean, Jake's fucking amazing. Everybody's known that forever. Like,
yeah.
That he is successful, I mean, I guess it shouldn't be surprising. You know, it's. I think that might be kind of a shitty thing to say about somebody. Like, your success wasn't surprising when, you know.
When you're good.
To be fair, but the thing I think
you still have to work for it. So right. It's like when, because I know for me, when people are just like, "Oh, you know, you were gonna make it, all this kind of stuff, you know, so talented and stuff." It's like, you know, I went to fucking, you know, I went to school and worked for fucking years and didn't have shit for a really long time and like worked at it for a long time. Like that's a part of it too.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of just a, I don't know if coincidence is the right word, but like. People who are going to just keep working at it and going for it, like where they come from, I think is going to vary. I think OC Remix was a great launching pad in a lot of ways, just because it provided a lot of visibility. And I love OC Remix. Like I consider myself an OC Remix alumni or whatever the alumnuses or whatever platypus I forget
platypus
yes platypus.
I'm an OC platypus. So but yeah, I mean it's I think what OC Remix I think the greatest credit to them is that they were on the forefront of making what I do, not necessarily mainstream, but at least appreciate it for not being disposable. You know, and you have Video Games Live today. I don't know if OC Remix is responsible for that. I mean, I know Tommy Tallarico has been on the forefront of that stuff for a long time. But I think OC Remix, I don't necessarily think, like, the way I would put it is, I think what someone might get out of that question is like, if I want to be like you, if I want to make video game music for a living, do I go to OC Remix to get started? That may not be the case.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say no, but I don't know if that's OC Remix's purpose. And I don't think it's ever been their stated purpose.
But I don't think it would hurt becoming a part of that community.
Right. Right.
I think it could help. I said, I don't think it could hurt going there. I think it could only help. Becoming a part of that community.
Yeah, just don't expect it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't think of it as like a linear line, if I may use the same word twice.
You can. There's no law against it.
But it's a thing. It's like if you wanted to get into scoring movies, you can move to LA and meet people. Like that's one thing you can do, but it will not
guarantee
it is you not the thing you have to do to get to the next step. There are many different ways to do it.
Right.
I
agree. I mean, like, even for me personally, because I'm interested in trying to mess around with, you know, doing some stuff for game companies or what have you. You know, like, I know a buddy of mine ended up moving down to Nashville, and he does, like, a lot of commercial work, actually. Like, but it's just, like, it kind of happened really randomly. So it's a semi-bad example. But, I've always had such a genuine interest in music that I can never stop playing that I just figured maybe I should just put it to a little bit more of a good use, where it's like people are always looking for someone to put music to something. And I feel like I can do that. So that's why I'm trying to personally like get my foot in the door, and I'm going to head to MAGFest this year and do some schmoozing and meet some people and have a good time.
Who the fuck are you going to meet at MAGFest that's going to help you?
Well, not just getting to know.
The only thing that you're going to find at MAGFest by talking to people is more alcohol, which is all you need at MAGFest.
But
you're not going to get contacts. You might get a contact high.
I could do that too.
The way to go with it. I really think that's the way to go with it. And I'm serious. Like, maybe I'm a special case and maybe I got lucky and all this kind of stuff and everything. But like when I don't go to conventions, all this kind of stuff, I never go. People say network all the time, all that kind of shit. I never go somewhere and be like, I need a network, bro. Like I need to get some cards out there. And I never do that. What I do is I go and meet people in my field and find people that I like being around and talking about, and I'm interested in their shit, and I talk about their shit, and they ask about mine, and we have conversations, and we get drunk, and we get high, and we do shit, and shit happens.
See, now like, that's how the approach for me, I would rather do it, Because I can be that person where it's like, yes, this is what I've done in the past, and I'm really interested.
This is my resume and my portfolio. Yeah, I have like a mixtape here for you to check out.
Yeah, like I can be that guy, but I hate being that guy. So I would much rather just be like, hey, man, this is what I do. If you dig it, cool. I really dig what you're doing, or I don't dig what you're doing, and whatever. And
whatever. Have a beer.
Yeah. Like
I would say that's absolutely the way to do it, man. Like I'm not like a kingmaker or nothing. I don't think like if whenever people like hit me up, if they think that like I'm gonna somehow be able to get them into the industry or something, like I don't. If I'm able to do that, I don't know how. but like. Just so from that perspective of someone like occasionally that happens. Like I'm not saying it happens all the time. Occasionally people will be like, hey, you know, do this. Here's my resume. I've had people apply to like work for DB Soundworks, which is just me. It's not a company, which is understandable. Like it's not that it's silly or anything, but it's like the people I remember at conventions and stuff that like I will talk to and have talked to are just the people who I feel like aren't trying to
like use you for your
right.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I've kind of always hated with the whole networking aspect of it too. Yeah. Cause it's like, oh, all right, well you're just talking to me because I have a position or I'm in a position to help you. And then like, as soon as I can do that, then I'll probably never fucking hear from you again.
I mean, Danny, do you remember me from MAGFest?
Do you remember me from the back alley of MAGFest?
I gave you a handy and you gave me a Meat Boy CD.
Hold on. Cover your face. Let me see if I remember you.
Open your mouth.
No.
It's like one of those things. Like, I'm not good with keeping up on email and stuff. But even though I get email and stuff, then basically that's a lot of it. That's just I don't know what I'm doing. I want to do this. What do I do? As much as I don't know how to respond to that, I feel for everybody who does that. And I've seen some people get really resentful of that.
Yeah.
People who get successful immediately, they turn around and when people email them at that blue and stuff and like, how fast did it go from like, you want to do this for a living and you aren't the person you are today to like, you resent anybody who used to be like you 3 years ago. Like,
yeah. Right.
I hope I never get there. Like if people, you know, and so most of the time the response is just something fairly generic. Just like, you know, you just got to keep at it, you know, work on your stuff, get better, get good criticism, that kind of stuff. And so I don't know, man, it's like, it's just, finding me at a convention and like interrupting me at dinner and like forcing a tape into my hand or something.
Oh yeah.
How old am I? But like, you know what I mean? Like I'm not going to hate you.
Right.
I may not be like impressed. And like, I also might not ever listen to it, but like, if you kind of just like meet me and say hi and come up and say, hey, you know, how's it going, man? Like, you don't have to say, I was about to say, like, I love your stuff. I'm like, you have to come up to me and tell me how much you love my stuff, and then I will talk to you.
Like, don't no, you like, know who I am? I've rubbed beards with Notch.
Yeah, God damn it.
I remember the people who are more than the people who make like really good music. Cause I mean, there's tons of people who make really good music. The people I remember are the good people.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that translates to like other more important people than me who can actually make shit happen, but I would think it does. So,
I mean, most people, the go-to saying is, you know, if you're a good person, then good things will come your way. So essentially, if you just, you know, keep at it, don't be a shitty dude, then, you know, fingers crossed, right?
He remembers the good people, exactly. And that's why he's doing our podcast.
Aww, it's so cute.
As I harassed him into it.
Please
do our podcast. Oh my God, we need people.
Something like that. I would imagine that's how the email went.
Probably, something like that.
I was promised that I would be allowed to do some alley blowjobs.
You can do as many blowjobs as you desire. Whatever. We're not going to stop you at all.
You'll get the dick pics later. Don't worry. So, what
I'll shave
is
your
next?
Name into my pubes.
What is next for Danny B? Besides church.
Necrodancer is coming up early next year. I think March we're shooting for. And Drifter just got greenlit. It's like a space trader, freelancer, elite kind of game. Next year, I want to try to start getting a live show together. I want to start playing live music.
Nice.
Now that I could totally help you with that. That is my forte.
I was really lucky though because you know, a rival, Luke Esquivel, Alex, whatever his fucking name is,
friend of the show,
he moved to Seattle, mm-hmm. and so I'm hoping maybe we can get something going together. He knows the DJ stuff a lot better than me. I'm going to need to get some decks or something, and maybe someday bring in keys, guitars, drums, vocals.
That would be
whatever.
Nuts.
Be creative with it. But for now, I want to try playing music in front of people, seeing if people dig it, and if I can tour. Like, that's my end game, man. Like, this video game music thing is just my day job. Like, I still want to be a rock star. That never fucking changed.
Boom.
Like, I want to. Go around the country, world, whatever. The moon.
The moon.
Nice.
We tour the moon.
Rocking on the moon.
They say there's no sound on the moon, but we'll see.
I would love to test that theory. That'd be cool.
Indeed. So, what have you been playing lately?
So it's kind of just little bits here and there, because so much to do, but I still am an irresponsible person, so I find plenty of time.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
The Battlefield 4 is really cool. It's been playing a little bit of that. I mean, I played some of the beta. A lot of times when I buy like AAA shit, I love AAA shit as much. I'm not at all. Just like, oh, I only play indie games, bro. Like, I'm excited for Assassin's Creed 4, even though, like, I feel like I've played the same Assassin's Creed, like, six times in a row.
You have.
I'm still excited for it.
You have.
Because pirates, dude!
Oh, I'm excited for it, too.
Fucking pirates!
I have it pre-ordered for the X-Bone, so.
Bone.
See,
bone.
So, the thing with me on that is that, like, you know, I have a PS4 coming, and, I have Assassin's Creed 4 ordered for PS4, but it's also coming out on PC, and I kind of want to cancel it for PS4 and just go on PC, because I know it's going to be better on PC, but...
Ooh, PC Master Race! PC Master Race!
Absolutely.
I
got a member card.
God damn it.
Yeah! Chalk up another one!
I'm still getting a PS4, you asshole!
I'm getting a Wii U!
Yeah, what I was gonna say before I was accused of being Hitler.
No, it's cool. I am right there with you. Joe is not. That's why he's mad.
I'm so outnumbered on this show with all the people who are PC Master Race. And then there's me, like, I like my consoles with the controllers and the buttons and the Kinects and the game.
But I like them all. I like them both. I'm not a Master Race. I'm a Master Inclusionary.
I hear you say you like them all, but you didn't mention that you have an X-Bone on the way.
Well, I didn't want to because it sounds very, I do. It just sounds kind of hoity-toity to be like, I have a PS4 and an Xbox on pre-order.
No, that's not being hoity-toity, that's being a gamer.
Yeah.
I got them both on order.
I also get to write it off of my taxes, so that kind of...
That's kind of awesome.
Use that Meat Boy money and get an X-Bone, too.
Meat Boy money.
Make it rain.
I want to see, like, I'm a huge, like, graphics tech nerd. Like, I don't understand any of it, but, like, I'm a big nerd. And, like, I am one of those, in one sense, I kind of am the Master Race thing, because, like, I am a PC enthusiast. Like, I have two GTX 680s and SLI on my computer and three screens that do surround. Like, I do that stupid shit. Like, how other people spend unreasonable amounts of money on their car, like, it's a hobby and I like to do it. And it's like where all my disposable income goes. And
God, you should see, like, the walls of my fucking house.
I want to see what the difference is between the PS4 and the PC Assassin's Creed 4 is, and PS3. I would love to see all three of them just to understand, like, the difference between them all.
Did you actually see there is a video that's comparing the graphical qualities between the PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4 versions of Assassin's Creed.
Is there?
I saw one that was between PS4 and Xbox 360. But yeah, I did see that, and that, like, that was cool. But I have to feel it. I have to play it. And so it seems like a very expensive way to just kind of like test some weird theory that I have, or like expectation I have about graphics technology. But I'm just such a nerd about that shit. Like, oh, I want to see, like, how many pixel shaders did they get in this, bro? Like, whoa, what's the resolution refresh rate, bro?
I just purchased a 760 for my home gaming rig. And then my laptop actually has a 680M. So that's what we're recording the podcast on right now.
Wow, 680M. Yeah, I got the Retina MacBook, so it's a 650, which is... It's not crazy, but it works.
It runs stuff.
It doesn't run anything at 2880 by 1800.
Nope.
See, my nerdy purchases lately have been, I picked up Killzone for the PS4 today.
And the controller?
Because they're selling it. No, I didn't get the controller because selling it early. So I picked that up and I put a pre-order on the Gold Zelda 3DS XL bundle. Because
it looks
fuck yeah.
Because it looks
so goddamn good.
I just bought my girlfriend a 3DS XL and they're making a fucking gold one.
Gold, yep. Black and gold. Oh my god, it looks so good.
I hate everything about my life.
Oh my god.
Black and yellow.
yeah, dude, it's hot. I'm not gonna lie.
it's confirmed for release November 22nd, same day as the X-Bone. Well,
I don't think she would have waited that long. She wanted to play Pokemon's.
Right?
Pokemon's.
So good.
Oh, what's her favorite Pokemon?
What's your favorite starter Pokemon?
Oh my god.
Favorite Pokemon is my dick. Whoa!
So, Diglett.
I choose you.
Diglett.
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 No, Diglett.
Chublett.
Doug Trio. Oh, god. Yeah!
But yeah, the Gold XL is going to be $219, and it comes with a download code for the new Zelda game.
Wait, so there's a new Zelda?
Yeah, for 3DS, Link Between Worlds.
What?
Yeah, it's set in the same world as Link to the Past.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, girl, where have you been? You got to get your news from SaveContinue.com.
Like, I hear a lot from like game developers and stuff, and I think it's just like a meme, and I don't know if it's true, but a lot of them say, ever since I started making games, I don't have time to play games. And that seems really weird to me. Like, on its face, it's like how do you keep up with shit? And I'm sure they do. Like, I'm sure it's sometimes may be overstated, but like, I cannot keep, I kind of have done it now. I've become that asshole. You know what I mean?
To be fair, you've always kind of been an asshole.
But it's like I have, you know, I got a lot, you know, sometimes there's like right now it's just like a crunch time and like I have a ton of shit to get done by November 7th. And like, so just weeks will go by where I just don't really have time to read news sites. And then like, there's a fucking new Zelda and I don't even know, but there's a gold DS. Like what fuck is like, oh my God, is there like a new Metroid? Or it's like, oh my God, like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Dude, you got to look up a picture of that gold DS while you're at your computer.
I want to hear your reaction just to look at it.
So we're just going to wait.
Can I just give you the reaction now and you can save it for later?
Oh my God!
Whoa!
That's kind of how we sounded when we first heard it, too.
Yeah.
I was trying to do a fake cough, and it totally made me do a real one.
I'm so glad that I have your audio routed to its own channel, so I could just, like, take that sound bite.
That'll be your new ringtone.
Have you, do you remember the acapella thing I did for the Meat Boy soundtrack? Did you ever hear that, Joe?
I don't know if I have.
It was just this stupid thing I did at the very end of the Meat Boy soundtrack. Like, for some reason, I did like this. I was kind of in a ear, nose, and throat situation as I am right now, where I'm just like super allergied up and asthma and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, hey, I got so many followers on Twitter, so I'm going to give you guys something. I'm going to do a cappella versions of the Meat Boy soundtrack. And it was just me just going, just horrible. Just like I'm hacking up my lung halfway through it, like multiple times.
Oh,
and
shit.
I find out like a year later, like people are like, dude, that's my ringtone. Like, what?
Are you fucking stupid? Really? Wow.
Isn't it weird how like some people will grab like the stuff that you really didn't mean to make like any kind of sense, and they're like, yeah, this is like the coolest thing ever. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I remember this one guy coming up to me like after one of our shows in Ethereal, and there was something that like I said in between songs, like I don't even remember what the fuck it was, but like he came up to me and he was like, oh yeah, you guys are hysterical, like you should start doing like comedy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh yeah, here, listen. And he like recorded like me at a show like months and months ago that I didn't even know that this dude was at, and like I guess he recorded like 5 or 6 minutes of me saying some sort of stupid bullshit in between our songs. And he was like, that's like the funniest thing I've ever heard. Like, I play it to everybody, like, all the time. And I'm like, what the fuck? Wait, like, why would you record that? Like,
answer, that was fucking awesome, man.
I'm oh, my dude. Lord.
Dude, it was so weird. Like, it's, but whatever.
It's one thing is, I don't think you can really... That is shit that gets out of your control real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you have any kind of success or any kind of limited notoriety, even like people are gonna consume and interpret the stuff you do in ways you never imagined. And like I pretty early on, like the first time somebody like took something I did and they just took it the wrong way, and I was just like, oh man, what the hell? What are you doing? Like I got rid of that shit quick because it's like. All that matters is like people are into it, and like so, if people made that thing my ringtone, like,
cool.
I wouldn't do that, but that's amazing.
Yeah,
to me, like it's just like you. I mean, especially with how much like cynicism stuff there is around there, that like your ringtone has to be like by fucking Timbaland or something. Like,
what was the last time that you've actually heard something from Timbaland? I'm curious.
The last thing I heard from him was when he stole fucking video game music and put it into a. Whatever. You remember? Do you remember that, Joe?
I remember. Yeah. That's some horse shit.
What a dick.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah. He's like, when he was in the interview and he was just like, they're just like, and they were like way on his side or whatever. And they're just like, what do you say to these people? He's like, man, this is fucking video game music. Like, if that's how you feel about it, then why'd you steal it and put it in your song? Like, if video game music is so stupid, why are you making so much money off of stealing it?
Yeah,
so, no shit. What a boner. Timbaland is a boner.
Yeah.
And anyone who wears Timbalands. That's more general.
Yeah, that's...
I think those are called employed people.
I'm kind of employed, and I never, not once, debated on purchasing Timberlands.
I used to work in a lumberyard. I definitely had steel-toed Timberlands.
You should have went with the docks.
Actually, no, and you know, eventually, like, I realized how quick they got fucked up, so I moved to the Walmart brand, which I think is called
Timberwolves
Brahma or something. Not Brahma, like some cow. It's like it's just a picture of a fucking cow. And, like, we slaughtered a cow and chopped it up, and now it's on your feet.
Yep, pretty much. That's how
Yay,
it goes.
Yay, Walmart.
Yay, leather. Yay, leather daddies.
Yeah, I like how we were going to do a half hour interview with you and it is now an hour long.
Something like that.
Yeah, I do that.
It's okay.
This is probably
we're a great escape for you,
this
right?
It's probably the best interview we've had too.
Oh, absolutely.
Out of the four of them.
we've done a decent amount. Are you counting Kunal?
No. No one counts
Majmudar?
Kunal. Yes. Yes.
I love that guy.
Indeed.
Kunal's a good guy.
We've had him on, what, three shows?
Three shows, yes. Something like that. Oh, Tim just came online.
Nice.
Should I add him to the call?
Go ahead.
No. 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 It's okay. It's cool. cool. Maybe he, maybe, I don't know.
And I drink my iced tea and put down my chalice.
The chalice. That huge thud. The
fucking gigantic mug.
God damn. So, Joe, have you been playing anything?
Rock Band Out the Ass.
Because, oh, that's right, yeah.
Because I have been introduced to the wonderful world of Rock Band customs, where people just take songs and chart them and make them up for download, and you just download them, put them on a USB stick, and play them.
So you're pirating?
No, because they're free.
Did they kind of just open source it then, kind of?
Well, they use the tools, like the same tools that were there for Rock Band Network, and they pretty much make the files, but they aren't like signed to a console or to any developer. It's just you put the file online and it's DRM free, or there's no locks on it. And I really don't know how the hell it works. I know the most recent Rock Band update patched out the whatever loophole there was to get those files in the game.
Yeah.
So you have to use the old disc version, the EA version, completely remove the update and stay offline because it'll prompt you for an update and it'll load up all the files. So there's people out there making songs for friggin' U2. You know, they
hate U2.
They brought, yeah, that's why I mentioned
I know. It. I fucking hate U2.
They brought over like all these Guitar Hero tracks that never saw the light on Rock Band. There's people out there who do just weird customs, like Ale Sean song "Joe Cam Stole
Joe
My
Cam
Bike."
Joe Cam Stole My Bike. Yeah,
I played that earlier. It's just really cool. All the possibilities for new songs, and the one website, customcreators.com, something like that. They're putting out new songs every week.
Just like how they used to with Rock Band Network.
Yeah, it's good to hear. I mean, yeah, I know I disparaged your favorite game earlier. I'm sorry, but like, it's good to hear that. Like, it's good to hear that it's still got legs and that stuff's still going on. I mean, just even if it's like anything, like even if there's not like cultural critical mass anymore.
Yeah, like, it's all fan driven.
That's the great thing about video games. You can fucking fire up Super Mario, like it was just came out anytime you want, like Rock Band. Go back and play it anytime, and that's cool, man. You can just move so like USB to the console. You can move song files, and that's like sanctioned.
Like, well, it's not sanctioned.
Yeah, like
you again, have to go around it, and that's why I'm saying it's technically pirating. Technically,
they aren't releasing songs that you can buy.
No, they're not.
Like they're not putting out DLC that Harmonix already released. This is stuff that never came out or will never come out because they pretty much stopped doing the DLC.
Well, I guess the idea too is that like if you wanted to, you could make your own things and then play them on your console.
Yeah, pretty much. Is
that correct? Yep. So like it's one of those, it's just like any piracy where it's like it can be used, you know, however people use it.
Yeah.
Precisely. That's the idea. That is the idea.
Like, I don't exactly know how many fucking Nintendo Entertainment Systems weren't sold because in 1997 I fucking played ROMs, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if it's not there, like, so the legal stuff on that is so weird, you know? Like, I would, like, okay, so I'm a content creator, like, I make music, and like, if someone made music, or took my music and made Rock Band shit and like, just put it up there, and traded out and played it, like, fucking cool, dude. Like, I think where I would have to draw the line and almost is just like if people did it and then put it out in line to sell.
Yeah,
and right. And that's
not happening. So, like,
yeah, this is all, there's zero cost to it. It's just people who love Rock Band making more songs out of love for the game and the scene and sharing them with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where I'm perfectly fine with it. Because even like, because it's funny, because I got asked in an interview once, because there's actually, if you go on like BitTorrent or whatever, like the Pirate Bay or whatever, someone has a torrent file with like all of our albums up. like three or like, I think they have like four or five of our albums, like in one folder. You yeah. just download all of them now. And they're like, so what do you feel about that? And I'm like, are there people downloading it? Well, yeah, it has like so many blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, as long as I see at least a couple of them, you know, at a show, or if they buy some merch, or if they just tell someone else about us and they go to a show or they buy some merch, then that's a plus. So yeah. like, I'm perfectly cool with it. Like, if there's people that are just like, oh, well, I'm going to do this instead of supporting them, you're going to have those people. Or there's going to be those people that are just fucking broke and unemployed.
Yeah.
That's, you know, there's nothing you can really do about that. So you kind of have to, there's that one point where you kind of have to just trust the judgment of the general mass, which is very difficult to do. But yeah. at the same time, you have to just kind of have faith and just be like, you know what? If I do something good and people want to reward me for doing something good, then hopefully I'll get rewarded. And then if not, that sucks. Like,
yeah, I mean, I can say just from experience, like, I don't think I could. I'm pretty sure I couldn't live. I mean, I could maybe make a living off of everything I've done if it was just album sales and I made nothing on the games themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It'd certainly be a lot different. Like the lion's share of it is definitely like the games themselves.
Yeah.
Which may be that, like, you know, the games are just really successful. Like, it may not be that, like, music is not... I may just not be popular enough, is what I'm saying. Like, I'm not... So, like, the whole thing with, like, pirating and whether or not people pay and all that kind of stuff, and, like, it's a hard thing to wrap your head around, and it's hard for me to understand because I came from someone who fucking used Kazaa, and...
Yeah.
All this shit, and like I came from like the second we got internet, like the first day we had internet, like we were downloading illegal shit, like immediately, like that's whatever. And I think everybody does it, like whether they admit it or not. I've not pirated a game in pretty much since Steam came out, like
yeah,
mixed it. And so what that made me realize is that it may, so it's like it may not be right. So like if you say, all right, we got a game out there, it's $50. You have to go out and you have to buy the CD and get it, all this kind of stuff. Or you can get it online for, you know, $40 and or whatever, or even the same. But it's just like when you buy it for $50, it's on your account and it's there forever.
Yep.
It may not be reasonable to say that, like, you know, it has to be so easy for consumers so that they won't pirate shit, because I'm not sure it seems like as a person you should not steal shit, and
right.
And I know it's not stealing, but like you should say, like, okay, if I want this game, I get in the car, go to the store and buy it and come back, and like the burden of doing that is not worth pirating it or whatever,
right?
But making it easier to do so and buy stuff and not be and lowering that barrier, like, I don't think it makes it okay, but I think it makes definitely a lot more likely that of the 7 billion people that is your possible audience, more of those people will just buy it instead of stealing it, because it's easy. If they buy it once, they're going to have it forever easily, and they're not going to have to fucking go to Pirate Bay and get a zip and have to virus check and all that kind of stuff. And so
yep,
it's this really weird thing where it's like I put shit up for free and it's on Pirate Bay the next day. Like, it doesn't matter. It's going to be there no matter what you do. It is going, and then also shit I put up for free is on Russian sites and they're selling it. Like, we were looking through the other day, Kim was looking for new ringtones for her phone on iTunes, and there were a bunch of Minecraft ringtones. And I asked Daniel, C14, he did the music for Minecraft, are these yours? And they are not. And so even on iTunes, like, people do that shit. And so it's like, it's one of, like, you don't want to get to the point of being like cynical where it's just like people are just stealing my money and profiting off me and all this bullshit. But it's just like, is it worth my time and effort to go down there and hunt down everybody who's putting up my shit for free or making money for it, or the Russian sites? Do I want to get an international lawyer to contact the consulate in Moscow and get these people taken down for the like $10 they're making a year maybe off of it? Like, there's always that line to draw. And like, I've just come to the point now where it's like, the Meat Boy soundtrack was like $4. The Isaac soundtrack was like $1. And I'm a huge fucking socialist, dude, but that was too cheap. And that was a very hard determination for me to come to. And so the next sound checks I'm coming out with, they're going to be more. They are also a lot more music, and I'm a lot better than I was, so I think it's justified. But I think I'm okay with more people pirating it. Because I'm not okay with it, but I'm okay with the idea that they will. And that if other people want to wait for sales and stuff, and you know, people pirate it and then buy it, that kind of thing, because it's, you're playing a numbers game always. I could make it a quarter and people would steal it.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't ever know if there's ever going to be, like, it was so straightforward for so long. You get on a record contract and it's this much and the CDs are this much. You get this cut, you do this tour here and you're done. Do your drugs, fucking do your thing and live your life. And now it's not like that. It is just, here's a fucking interconnected computer network over the whole world and everybody's credit card is on the other end of it. Like, go nuts.
Yeah.
Have fun. Like, there's no right answer. And no matter what I do, if I charged $100 for albums, like, some people would buy it, a lot less would, but, like, you know, and I wouldn't ever want to do that. But, like, I don't know if there's ever going to be a good answer for that shit.
I think, honestly,
pay what you want is a good answer.
Yeah. So. Danny B's new album is $100 confirmed.
Confirmed. 10 out of 10. Blademode.com. No, I completely understand because, you know, from the ethereal standpoint, we never made a penny off of any of our CDs, like, ever. Essentially, we spent, you know, maybe on an actual physical copy of a CD, we would make, maybe like $3, $2, $3, maybe.
Yep.
We spent in the studio just to record it, not even like pressing the CDs and everything like that, just to record it. We spent about $3,000, $4,000. And that's cheap. That's really cheap.
Yeah.
It's not cheap if you ain't got money, though.
Well, right. And, you know, we were kind of funding it out of our own pocket. You know, for how much material we've had and for how long we had been around, nobody was helping us. Like, the way that we actually made the majority of our money was merch. Like, not CDs. Like, T-shirts. We made more on T-shirts than we did at the shows themselves.
Wow.
Like...
Right.
It's crazy. Like, we had a show that was with, we did an opener with Goat Horror. We did an opener with Bury Your Dead. Like, all of our opener shows, like, you know, we would sell tickets and we had a percentage of the tickets that we would get and whatnot. And 9 times out of 10, if we sold all the tickets that we had that we were required to sell to go on the show, which, again, that is fucking a whole nother monster. But the money that we would get from the show and the venue themselves, right? We would be able to make more than that by selling 4 or 5 T-shirts.
Wow.
Right. That's something I'm going through right now, man. Like, it's, I was in bands and stuff in college and stuff. And for so long, that's what I wanted is I wanted to be a drummer in a band and I wanted to fucking live that lifestyle, play the shows, party, make money, be famous, everything. Like, who fucking doesn't want to be a rock star, right? And so then you kind of get to those realizations that, yeah, merch is a big thing. And again, big giant commie here. Like, the idea of merch makes me uncomfortable because it's always been linked to rampant commercialism. And I don't want to be a fucking giant hippie about it because, like, as I get older and I kind of understand, like, some of the things I felt early when I was younger about this kind of stuff is kind of unfounded, like, there are problems with this stuff, but, like, you have to make a living and that kind of stuff. And so, like, I'm to the point now where I'm looking into doing merch and shit just for me, for Danny B. And that's weird to
me. Dude, just put your face on a T-shirt and sell it.
Dude, have you seen the Star Fox looking face of mine?
No.
Like, someone did a face that basically makes me look like Andross from Star Fox.
Oh, shit.
It's this guy, Steve Courtney. He did a bunch of them for different people. But, like, it's like a weird curtain. And I have, like, laser eyes. And, like, I was thinking about that. Like, should I do that? And, like, the thing is, like, am I comfortable enough with that idea that people would buy a shirt with my face on it? Am I comfortable enough with, you know, making money off of that and just, like, feeling like a horrible person for doing
well, you know
that.
What though? There's always
also
this
having it out there and making money, and then stickers and I don't know, fucking buttons. I don't know. I already do CDs, but like
honestly, yeah. Like, there's this fine line, like, the way that I kind of came about with my acceptance of merchandise is essentially, you know, obviously, you need to try and make a little bit of revenue so that you can keep this thing afloat. So for a band's sake, you know, you're going to have the merchandise available just so that you can keep the band going so you can still do shows and stuff like that. But at the same aspect, you know, if someone is really into your stuff, right? If someone is really into your band and they want to support you guys, you know, not only are you giving them something, you know, like, hey, you know, buy this to support us, but it's also you're going to get something solid out of it. You know what I mean? Right. Like it's yeah. I'm trying to find your link that you put in there.
I linked the picture of the thing, but like. But that's the thing, right? And I think it's like intrinsically.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That'll be the picture for the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, you should. But
just
I
email like me that link or Facebook me that link.
I'll keep it up.
Oh,
I got
my
it.
God.
But exactly what you said. Like, it's something like physical and tangible they can get and they can be into it. And like, it could absolutely be with it. It's kind of hard to come to grips with the idea of anybody wanting that. Like, wanting, you know, I've idolized so many people in my life. Like, I've idolized Nobuo Uematsu since I was a child. I idolized Michael Jackson, fucking plenty of musicians, rock stars, movie stars, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm very familiar with it from this side of it, and I don't at all intend to say that I am anywhere near any of those people as far as like where I am.
Right.
But like just getting a fraction of that, getting a fraction of just like even fan mail, I don't know if it makes me uncomfortable or if it even is considered fan mail.
Right.
Just getting people who email me out of nowhere and tell me they like my shit is still fucking weird, and it's never not going to be weird. And so jumping that gap to the next one of like, okay, somebody wants your face on their shirt. Like just, I think I'm just trying to get over accepting that without feeling like an egomaniac, and maybe that will never go away. And maybe it's something I just need to like sequester off mm-hmm. by itself.
Good word. That, good word. Very good word.
But yeah, I mean, I wonder if it's different in a band. Cause like, if it's a band, it's this abstract thing, right? Like, okay, I'm in a band called, you're in a band called Ethereal, sounds like.
And so, Ethereal Collapse.
Right. Ethereal Collapse. Okay. So like when you go out there and you promote it and you say, buy a shirt, buy the Ethereal Collapse shirt. It is something distinct and different from yourself, but that you happen to be a part of. And there's a break in the chain there of like, I am not telling you to put my name on your body.
Right.
I'm telling you to put the name of this thing I'm in on your body.
Yeah. It's a little different.
It is, but it is like, it's not, but it feels that way. And so like,
honestly,
that's why
I think
I'm trying to figure out, like, do I just go by Danny B style? Do I come up with a, like, if I just had a DJ name, would that be enough to do it? Or should I just go by my name that is recognized? I don't know. But like, I don't know. That's a weird thing in this day that like celebrity is such a weird fragmented thing now that anybody with 100 Twitter followers as a celebrity,
yeah,
like it doesn't
or Vine
mean
famous,
anymore. Yeah.
Do you Vine, no. Danny B?
I do.
Do you
I Vine? I when I'm working on projects, I do a Vine of just I wave my phone around in front of the DAW as it's playing the music, just yep. to show people what it looks like, and sounds horrible because it's a microphone,
right?
On the iPhone, but. No, I like Vine. Vine's cool.
Good. I'm going to have to follow you on there. I hardly ever post, but I am on there.
I mean, I don't actually post on Vine. It just automatically goes to, like, Twitter, but...
Oh, okay. Same difference. Same difference. But no, I completely understand, because I'm even to the point where, like, you know, I'm going to try and do this video game CD for MAGFest. But at the same time, like, I actually asked, you know, a decent amount of... I don't want to say, like, fans, but like followers, I guess, people that follow my career, I guess, I asked them if I was interested in doing another album by myself, because I actually had like a side project that I did the drums and the guitar and the vocals and the bass and, you know, all that nonsense.
Wow.
And you know, I was thinking about, you know, reimagining that, but doing a cover album under that name. That was essentially like an audio biography is what I wanted to call it, where it was all songs that kind of like, spanned my life up until this point that were very influential of mine, and then, like, you know, do a little bit of a commentary as to why it means so much to me, and, like, you know, and I essentially put this message out there, like, who would actually be interested in this, or am I just doing this to, like, feed an ego that's not there? Like, is this something that people would actually want to get? And I had a couple people that were genuinely interested, but at the same time, I think, like, you know, right now is not the right time. But I think, you know, I'm still going to keep the idea in the back of my head because, you know, you never know when that demand's going to actually be there. You know what I mean? And essentially, you have to, like, you have to think of yourself in certain aspects as a little bit of a product. Like, the entertainment business, depending on, you know, what you're doing, like, you do have to market yourself.
Right.
So it's
I don't disagree with that at all. It's just it's
weird and it sucks and it's shitty, but yeah, it's something that unfortunately you have to kind of come to terms with. And then once you do, you're just kind of like, well, I guess it's not that bad. Like, it could be worse. Like,
I mean, that's the thing too, is like, even if you take it really slow and easy and do very, very little, there's still going to be somebody who's like, you fucking sellout, man. I remember when you were making MIDI when you were 7 years old, and like, how you were watching me when I was a child.
Gross.
I was
in a back alley.
I was bored.
At Magfest.
Yeah, getting handies.
Oh yeah, I did all that when I was a kid.
So looping around back to Magfest, I guess that's a good point to, I guess, wrap things up a bit.
Yeah, because we've been going on for a little bit now.
we didn't get to talk about anything that we planned to this week.
Hey, that's fine. It's cool.
Titanfall's exclusive, blah, blah, whatever.
We'll do it next week.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll do it live!
Fuck it,
we'll do it live.
So, we usually wrap up every episode with three or four songs from a select artist, and we figure that since we have a select artist as an interview, why don't we just play some of your songs?
Yeah, I'm all right. Okay. I guess I'm okay.
If I have to.
Anything special that you would like to play? Either stuff you've had in the past, or maybe something that's not released yet that you could sneak our way and put on?
Yes, that's what I was going to do. Let me find some.
Ooh.
I'm on the spot here.
He's going through his archives.
Joe, we go way back, buddy. So you get the goods.
Oh shit!
Let's see, so this is, I mean, I guess this isn't 100% unreleased, but I will. Okay, yeah, this is a good one.
He's making up his playlist.
doing this game called Necrodancer, Crypt of the Necrodancer. I don't know if you saw about it, but it's rhythm based roguelike. It's basically a kind of turn based dungeon crawler, but you have to move to the beat of the music. Huh. And so it's going to be one where you can import your own music, but there's going to be a full soundtrack in there. And as part of this Necrodancer thing, what I've been working on really hard lately, with help from Mr. Arrival, Luke, Alex, Esquil, Throckmorton, whatever the fuck his name is. it's funny because he came to my house in Arizona once when I was living with my parents, and my dad couldn't remember his name, because who the fuck could? So he just calls him Throckmorton for some reason, and who knows why.
But speaking of someone going to your house, I'm sad Tim's not here, because at PAX,
apparently he slept on your floor or something?
Slept on your couch.
Who did?
Tim Robinson. He's the...
Like in my house, or...?
Yeah, he said. He slept on your couch. I was like, oh man, I went to Danny B's house, and, you know, the guy who did Super Meat Boy, it's like, yeah, I think
in
I
Seattle?
Heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For PAX Prime.
Huh. What's his name? I'm sorry, there was a lot of people at my house at PAX.
Tim Robinson.
He's very skinny. He's got a semi-Skrillex haircut.
Feel really fucking bad for not...
He talks a lot.
Him. Yeah. He's friends with Kunal and Alex, and
did he? Okay, well, I'm. If he's,
I think he
this,
did pictures for Alex.
I profusely apologize. It does he go by a different name?
I don't know.
Like a musician name?
No, he's not a musician.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm just gonna continue feeling like a horrible person.
It's okay.
Don't feel horrible at all.
He's not here, so it's,
yeah. We don't give a fuck.
So fuck him.
Yeah, pretty much. Son of a bitch didn't want to show up today, so fuck him. He doesn't listen anyways.
So anyway, the point of all that ridiculousness was I've been drilling on the dance music stuff. And so it's very hard to do dance music stuff these days without the subject of dubstep coming up.
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
And I'm definitely the best way to put it, I guess, is I'm a slow adopter of dubstep. It's interesting and there's cool stuff. It's not something I would listen to on my own, but I've been to, I went to a couple Mojang parties, and they had really good dubstep and stuff, and it's cool. Like, and Alex has opened me up to a lot of new stuff I haven't heard before, and I kind of got caught into that wave of anti-dubstep and not knowing why for a while, and now I'm being a little more open-minded about it, but I don't know if I'm ever going to go there. I don't know if I'm ever going to get to complete dubstep, but this track I'm going to show you is about as close as I'm comfortable getting.
You could put your own spin on it and call it Chubstep.
Chubstep.
Every step I take is a Chubstep.
Woo! I'm going to make that my ringtone. Every step that I take is a Chubstep.
Okay, so that'll be one song. What other two songs?
Okay, so you don't play them in real time, obviously.
No, we just announce what
we
it
edit
is
them in.
And that it was awesome.
No, we don't even. Essentially just do a playlist of like three songs.
Be and like, then this is what the music is, and then they play, and then that's the end of the show.
Okay. Like could you when you put that one up, or I don't know if you upload it to your own thing, but could you just, or is it just going to be embedded into the podcast?
Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, it's not going to be separate.
It's just like tacked on. I usually do some crossfading with the songs, so if someone does rip it, they don't get a complete clean song.
That's cool.
I don't know if
true story about that.
It's more. I don't mind people getting it as much as just like if I was going to have it out there, I would want to have it properly named if it was his own thing. But that's okay.
Yeah,
you could like not even.
We don't give a shit.
Yeah, you could like not even name them. Just like here's three songs. Shut the fuck up.
That first song that you guys are going to listen to is called Chubstep.
Yeah, that one's called Chubstep.
It might, I might have to do that. I might actually have to call it then.
Just do a remix of it and call it the Chubstep remix.
Yeah. So then this next one is Battle of the Little Slugger, the World 1 boss music from Super Meat Boy. That's, I guess if I had to put it that way, it's like my biggest hit.
Is that the one that
that's the one you're going to be covering? And it is also available in Rock Band right now on the Rock Band
it
Network.
It is, and it's the top most streamed on Spotify, top bot on iTunes. I don't know. I just, this was just like my internal, I'm going to use fancy words again. This is my internal amalgamation of all the best boss themes I remember as a kid.
Amalgamation.
Someone's going to need a dictionary to listen to this show.
Or Zach. Is it Amalgamate? Or is that the album by Robert Patrick? Richard Patrick. I get those guys mixed up.
Patrick
Richard
Swayze?
Patrick is the filter guy. Robert Patrick is the Terminator. T-1000.
Patrick Swayze?
Okay. No, you know Richard Patrick? Robert Patrick?
Rob Pattinson? Filter?
Robert
yes,
Pattinson?
I do.
Yes, yeah, Richard Patrick of Filter.
Daryl Waltrip.
Daryl
Waltrip. I get those guys mixed up all the time.
Dick Trickle?
Dick Tracy?
Yes.
Okay.
Tracy Allman.
Allman Brothers.
Super Mario
doing
Brothers.
Free word association?
I don't know what the fuck we're doing. Okay, so we have Chubstep and Battle of Little Slugger. By the way, I'm still mad you never put Hot Damned in a Rock Band.
I don't know why we chose the songs we did. I think I thought eventually like a lot more would go up there, and it just kind of didn't happen because it was kind of like on the downswing of all that stuff.
Yeah.
Hot Damned would have been great. I agree.
You bitch.
You were right, Joe Cam.
God damn, I was right.
There's your ringtone, motherfucker.
Perfect.
See, now you gotta go to that custom creators website and be like, guys, I want you to put my music in Rock Band. Please.
Hot damn.
Dude, Hot Damned is such a good song.
Hot damn.
Now, after your third pick, I'm gonna put a fourth song of Hot Damned, just because I fucking love that song.
Okay. I put up Blue Badoob Scuba, which is a track that is 100% all my voice clips.
Nice.
Auto-tune. okay. chopped up into drums and stuff. There Perfect. Is definitely a point in it where I wanted a gong sound and I couldn't figure out how to make a gong sound, so I just said gong.
Perfect.
That works too.
Gong.
So we'll have Chub Step, Lil Slugger, your acapella ooby dooby hooby 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 gong, and Hot Damn.
Well, I got Cannonball in there too, but if you want to switch that out for Hot Damn.
No, fuck it. We'll do 5 songs.
We'll do a bajillion.
We'll do whatever. We don't give a fuck.
It'll be another 2-hour podcast.
Yeah.
Nice. This isn't a podcast. It's an album.
Yay.
Yay. It's 2 albums.
Yeah. It's a double album.
Double disc live HD remix.
Yeah, we'll put the first one out now, and then 3 months we'll put the other half out.
I'll give you the double D.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
That sounds good.
Yeah. All Penis right. jokes.
So we have a shitload of music from you, and we want to thank you for calling in and making us laugh about old people getting hit with meteors.
Oh, yeah, I did say that.
Bringing
Thanks
it
for
back.
Having me, guys.
It was so long ago, I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it was like 65 million years ago.
Good times.
Back in the day. So we will have to have you back on again sometime, maybe when Tim's around, so he could be like, what, you don't remember me? Oh,
no.
I will be sure to feel very bad about it.
No, don't.
Until that time.
He's not worth it.
Ouch.
Ashley's laughing from the other room. She liked that one, too.
Ouch. Tough crowd.
I'd say the same thing about me. I'm not worth it either.
Tough crowd. Tough crowd.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
Any parting words for our listener?
Fucking eat vegetables.
whatever you can do is great. You know, yeah. Even if you were only on for like 5 minutes, you'd be like, hey, man, that was a good 5 minutes.
I get that a lot.